Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on this Friday morning here on WGR Sports Radio 550. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show that's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Brayton Wilson here with you once again, filling in on the Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton's also joining us. He's on the Western Hotline today because he is down at the arena awaiting Sabres practice, which begins at 11 a.m. down at KeyBank Center. Good morning, Paul. How are you on this fine Friday?
Good. Just me and a Zamboni down here right
hey,
now.
Hey, there you go. never a bad thing to be here in the Zamboni rolling around down there at the ice. A pretty interesting day ahead for the Sabres, Paul. I mean, they had a day off yesterday after a big win to get their first win of the season against Ottawa, which we talked at length about yesterday. But today, with practice, it'll be interesting to see if there's potentially maybe any other names that could be available for the team coming off injury or anything maybe to do with Justin Danforth. But certainly, Paul, yeah, I mean, looking ahead, you got the Panthers coming into town tomorrow to close out the three-game home trip before heading to Montreal for a game, and then taking on the Detroit Red Wings on a Wednesday, and then taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs for a home-and-home series next weekend starting Friday. Pretty big stretch of games here ahead, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, and Lindy Ruff was hoping to get Matias Samuelsson back for the weekend. He did not participate in the morning skate the other day for the Ottawa game. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't on the ice or that he won't be ready to play on the weekend, which would be tomorrow. Jordan Greenway, I think it's just how much practice does he need? You know, does he need more practice? I mean, I just looked it up. He hasn't played a game since March 23rd, and last year he only played 34 games. He's never played 82. He played 81 his rookie season with the Minnesota Wild. And since then, he's played 67, 56, 62, 62, 67, and 34. That's about 74% of his team's games. Mm-hmm. So really, the Sabres have three guys that can't stay healthy and can't, you know, play a majority of their games. And Josh Norris, Matias Samuelsson, and Jordan Greenway. But the news was good after practice. He felt good. I anticipate we will probably see him out today if there was no setback. And I suppose it's possible he could play tomorrow.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, we'll have to wind up. It's just, again, when Lindy Ruff thinks he's ready. It's not a pain management thing or anything like that. He's ready to join practice. He's full go in practice now. And it's just a matter of, you know, when is he ready to jump into a game? Is it now? Is it going to be, you know, against Montreal? Is it going to be after that? But it's soon. I mean, it's coming. So those are the two that probably have a possible opportunity into playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where Jordan Greenway kind of slots in, Paul, because I know Justin Danforth left with, a lower body injury on Wednesday, or whatever that game was, Wednesday? Yeah, all the days are kind of blending in for me right now. But Wednesday, Justin Danforth left and did not return. So if Greenway does come back to practice and there's optimism that he could play, I mean, the easy answer is, well, he just kind of takes his slot on the fourth line with Tyson Kozak and Beck Malenstein. But
no, that's not the easy place for me.
Right.
I think he goes back on his line with McLeod and Zucker.
Okay.
That was a very good line for them last year. But they couldn't keep it together because they had to start using Zucker in the top six because of injuries.
And they might have to do it again.
Right. So they haven't been able to keep, but when everybody was healthy and that could be the line supporting the top six, that was an excellent line. Mm-hmm. They really played well together, you know, in both ends of the ice. So that's where I would start with him if it's possible, if you don't need Zucker someplace else, or if they're going to put Kulik at center and Thompson back on wing. Well, now you got Tuck over there, so that makes things a little bit different. But if you keep Thompson at center, because Kulik did center that. That line got back together near the end of that Ottawa game with Kulik centering Benson and Thompson. So we'll see in practice today what might happen. But if Tuck's still with Thompson, then I think there's an opportunity maybe to throw that line together with Zucker and McLeod and Greenway, if Greenway is ready to play.
Right. And then, you know, if you do put that line together, then you got to shuffle things around. You got to have, do you throw Peyton Krebs? Yeah, right. Do you throw Krebs up on the second line with Doan and Tuck?
With Kulik. If Thompson is still on the wing, and
yeah,
Tuck is on his wing, then I think Kulik would probably center.
Shift back to center, right.
Krebs and Quinn, mm-hmm, likely. And then Malenstein, Kozak, and I'm missing somebody. I'm going by memory. My lines are on my other computer. there's one. It doesn't matter. It's an energy type of a player. I don't think it's Gertzen. Dunn, maybe. I think Dunn's still around.
Josh Dunn.
Then you would have the, oh, how about Doan?
Yep. Josh,
that's the person we were missing here. So Krebs might not be. It might be Kulik, Doan, and Quinn.
Okay.
You know, something like that. And then Krebs would be down with Malenstein and Kozak.
Okay. I am curious how they're going to shuffle things around because I'm interested, Paul, because Kulik is an interesting player because he's been getting looks at both wing and center, and he's looked fairly decent down the middle. I think he's better off on the wing, but he is getting the opportunities down the middle, and he was drafted more so as a centerman. But I don't know, Paul, your thoughts in terms of the outlook for Yuri Kulik at the NHL level in terms of whether he's a better fit at center or wing.
Well, I think he's a much better centerman. It's happened in both places now. In Rochester, when they put him at center, he improved greatly and quickly. And last year when they put him at center, he improved drastically. That was where he was at the end of the season. I think he's a much better centerman than a wing. He's more comfortable there. He's understood the defensive assignments. Now, I don't think he responded very well against the Ottawa Senators, even though he got the open net goal. And there's a possibility, you know, we're talking about maybe he's not even in the lineup. You know, he might have played himself out if Greenway is ready to play. You know, then Krebs would be, you know, the center on that line with Doan and Quinn. So it's possible, you know, he Lindy Ruff didn't like the response he got. Lindy Ruff was asked about it afterwards, and he was lukewarm at best at what he saw, and so am I. I did not see the Yuri Kulik even close to what we saw last year. So, you know, if Greenway is ready to play, Kulik may have played himself out of the lineup for a bit.
Yeah, which is interesting because, I mean, what else is new with the team, Paul? You see these guys like the Yuri Kulik's, the Ryan McLeods, and Jack Quinn's, and some of these players who get off to these really slow starts, and it's about finding ways to get their game going. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday with maybe that empty net goal. I know it was an empty netter, but the puck goes into the net. Maybe that helps Yuri Kulik get going, and then maybe in practice today, Kulik impresses Lindy Ruff more and finds himself back in the lineup. It's what is it that needs to be done more at this point to get these guys ready to go off the hop? I mean, it seems frustrating all the time when we talk about these slow starts. We talk about the 0-3 starts and the really lackluster play. What is it now that, you know, it's trying to find these players to get their gears going right off the bat and not come out so sluggish to start the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty shocked by Yuri Kulik. I didn't think he thought he had it made or anything like that. And, you know, I thought he understood the way he's got to play to be able to play in the National Hockey League. And, you know, Seth Appert has always been pretty frank with him. He was his coach in Rochester, and I know the two of them have been talking quite a bit the last little bit here in Buffalo, and Seth Appert is not going to pull any punches with him. Never has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Yuri Kulik kind of, you know, appreciated that along the way. And, you know, even when Yuri Kulik was having trouble with English, Seth Appert took the time to, you know, because it was kind of tough love with him, and maybe Yuri Kulik wasn't understanding fully what was going on. He took the time to actually write a letter to Yuri Kulik in his language to let him know what he means and what he's looking for. And I guess that meant a lot to Yuri Kulik, that he took the time to do that so he could read what Seth Appert was getting at in his language. And, you know, it's so that's the kind of relationship they have. And it wouldn't be long. I mean, even if Yuri Kulik sat a game, it might be a game. I don't think it would be a long-term thing unless right. The Sabres went on a... Now, on the other side of that coin, you might say, well, why do you want to change the lineup after an 8-4 win? So you might go with that thought process also. But you're going to – I mean, if Samuelson's ready to play, he's going in. They obviously weren't happy with Ryan Johnson. He played just over 5 minutes and got sent down to Rochester.
Yeah.
So that obviously was not going well in Lindy Ruff's mind at all.
Yeah.
I mean, most of his defensemen not named Bryson were well over 20 minutes. And Bryson played in 12-ish. I'm just going by memory. And Johnson was just over 5. So he got benched pretty quick and wound up in Rochester. So, and Metsä, quite honestly, I don't think had a very good preseason in the two games preseason games I saw. I thought it didn't go well at all. So I'm thinking it's possible he might be the extra. You know, maybe... You know, Samuelson is going to go in the lineup, which he would take Johnson's slot, and then Metsä is the extra defenseman.
Paul Hamilton joining us from KeyBank Center this morning as the Sabres will hit the ice at 11 o'clock. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Extra Point Show on WGR. Feel free to join us at any point if you've got a Sabres question or if you want to talk some football even during the Bills bye week. 803-0550 is the local number here. And if you need the toll-free number, it's 1-888-550-2550. I know that we had some callers yesterday calling in late to the show. If you want to chime in, now would be the time to do so if you want to ask a question of Paul or whatnot. But yeah, I find that call up interesting too, Paul. To me, that reads that obviously, yeah, Ryan Johnson, they weren't necessarily happy with him, and especially if they're trying to get him to play on the off side of what he normally plays on the right side. You bring in a guy who is a right shot defenseman, and yeah, maybe he's the extra defenseman, but maybe there's the opportunity for him to get a look in Saturday's game. You also mentioned, too, Jacob Bryson only played a handful of minutes as well, and as they went very heavy with the top four of defensemen of Byram, Dahlin, Power, and Timmins. Maybe with Samuelson coming back, he takes that left slot, and then maybe Zach Metsä gets the opportunity to get his first NHL action and to... You know, maybe see what he's got against a Panthers team that is a little banged up and, you know, I don't know what their goaltender situation is because they just played a second game yesterday, which they lost, and we'll get to a little bit of previewing the Panthers in a little bit. But I can see easily where Zach Metza maybe steps into the lineup just to get that taste of the NHL action, whether he plays 8 minutes, 12 minutes, 16 minutes. I don't know what exactly, but, you know, Zach Metz is certainly a guy that I agree. I didn't necessarily see much from him in the preseason, but, I mean, he's shown plenty of growth in his development at the AHL level that garnered him to get an entry-level contract with the team this offseason.
Certainly he's earned it. I mean, I'm trying to remember if he wasn't even recruited all that much at Quinnipiac. I got to ask him that. That's one of the things I want to ask him. You know, but I know in professional hockey, nobody wanted him. He had to sign an AHL contract and goes to Rochester. It was after Quinnipiac won the national championship. He was their captain, by the way. Mm-hmm. So he went from possibly, you know, not even highly recruited to being the captain of the team and winning the championship, and then again he has to start over again because he's not the biggest thing in the world, and goes in Rochester, and they put him in the lineup. Seth Appert put him in the lineup for the playoffs, couldn't get him out. he it was like, we can't take him out, he's really playing well.
Yeah.
And you know, he has continued to play well for Rochester to the point he is now their captain, and as you mentioned, earned a contract, an NHL contract for the first time.
Yeah.
So he's always been counted out, even if it wasn't in college. He was counted out in the AHL. He was counted out. He'll never be in the NHL, you know, type of a thing. And he's always overcome, and he's always had a C on his sweater. And I'm not saying he's coming up here to be the captain, but, you know, he is the captain of Rochester now.
Yeah.
And, you know, so Mike Leone thinks enough of him that, you know, that he's done that. So I've always really liked his game. You know, anytime I've watched Rochester, I can count on one hand, and I might get to one or two fingers, how many poor games I've seen him play down in the AHL. Not that I see all their games, but every time I go down there and watch, he is usually one of their better players.
Yeah, I agree, because and the one thing that was interesting is when he did sign his AHL contract, a lot of people who are, you know, college hockey fanatics and people that maybe watched Metza play at the collegiate level with Quinnipiac, they raved about his two-way play. They raved about his leadership. I mean, he was the captain of the team that won the national championship a few years back.
And over Ryan Johnson.
Over
Minnesota
Ryan Johnson,
team.
Right, exactly. So when he went to Rochester, there was a lot of promise there, and it was just like, well, let's see what he does in the professional level when he starts playing those type of level of games. And I agree with you, Paul. When I watch him, it just seems like he's so calm, cool, and collected. He doesn't lose his composure very often. He skates incredibly well for being maybe a little bit of a smaller defenseman. But, you know, he's just got a really nice level head to him. He's heady. He's smart. And he's really grown his game to the point where I absolutely was clamoring for the Sabres to sign him to an entry-level contract even before they did get the chance to sign him. So I want to personally see what Metza can do at the NHL level. And, yeah, it's not going to be anything super drastic right off the bat. I only expect him maybe to play 8-10 minutes to start. But maybe that fresh taste of action will allow him to kind of bolster his confidence a little bit, and then when he goes back to Rochester, or if he manages to stick around in the NHL, it just continues to build and build, and then who knows, maybe the Sabres have a really nice veteran, or not veteran, but older defensive piece that turns into something special for them. I'm not entirely sure what to expect of Zach Metza at the top level, but I think there is potential for him to blossom into something that would be a win for the Sabres and Kevin Adams in that front office.
Well, as I mentioned, and you just said, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays well if he gets an opportunity, because that's what he does. He gets counted out, and then he comes in and plays well, and then it's like, wow, you know, and then he earns the next thing, whatever that next thing is. You talk about guys having to earn it. There's a guy that's had to earn it his whole life.
Right.
You know, because he's small, so of course he's going to be counted out. But there's a guy that every level has had to earn it and has done it.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline from Sabres practice on WGR. Of course, the Sabres are not practicing just yet. You don't hear any hockey sounds in the background. The only thing I've heard so far, Paul, other than the Zamboni, is the end of period horn go off, which I'm not sure why they would be doing that at this time.
Oh, did it? Because I'm so used to it now. When it goes off, it doesn't even... I don't even remember hearing it. So,
right. Yeah, it's just...
It's like the goal song. Everybody gives me a hard time because I'm clueless with goal songs. It's like... It's on. I don't care. And I have to tweet the goal. I have to write down in my notes. I have to watch the replay of the goal. The music in the background is the last thing I'm paying attention to. So it's like, oh, they have goal songs. I didn't know. I don't care. It's not. That's for fans. It's not for me.
I remember quite a few years back, Paul, when I was producing for Howard and Jeremy, we had a conversation the one time when the World Championships were going on and Sweden had changed their goal song from one that they had played for several years. And people were so upset because they changed it to ABBA. And I was just like, Paul, you love ABBA. Like, why would they be so upset, especially Swedish people? Why would they be upset that they changed their goal song to something from ABBA? And, you know, the tournament they started, I think it was like the first two or three games they played Mamma Mia. And then after that, they went back to the old goal song. It's just like, what? Don't give in to that kind of crap. Come on.
Well, Sal asked me the other day when I was on with him, if we turned on whatever music you listen to or however you listen to it, what would we hear? What would be on it? And I said, it's not like there are songs I like. It's not necessarily groups I like. There would be some ABBA on there. There would be some Shania Twain. There would be some Led Zeppelin.
Oh, my goodness.
There would be some Deep Purple. There would be some Metallica. There would be everything all over the place. There would be some Ella Langley. There would be some Lainey Wilson. It's just, you know, I just go with songs I like, you know. So I can't really say, well, yeah, my music that I listen to is dominated by this group or is this genre.
Were you a big Kiss fan at all, Paul?
Yes, and I do have some Kiss also that I listen to. And
have any thoughts about Ace Frehley passing away?
Yeah, one of his friends wrote that they were expecting that. I saw recently he had a fall at home, and he had to cancel some concerts. So whether the fall had anything to do, he was 74 years old with his death, I don't know, or if he had been ill. But, yeah, it's just... Now, all of a sudden, you know, people that I grew up watching and listening to and that they're starting to, you know, Robert Redford just passed.
Yep.
And Diane Keaton just passed. And one of the members of Kiss has just passed. And there's a bunch that I'm forgetting of the people of that era. Now, it's like, oh no. I mean, people, some athletes recently that I grew up watching have passed. Ryan Sandberg,
yeah,
who I remember here playing when the Bisons were Double A with the Reading Phillies. He and Ozzie Virgil were here together. So it's kind of hits home a little bit.
All right, 803-0551, 888-552-550 are the numbers if you would like to join us. If you have any questions for Paul Hamilton relating to the Sabres, if you want to talk some football, whatever you want to discuss this Friday afternoon, we're kind of wide open here as the Sabres are expected to hit the ice for practice at 11 a.m. And, of course, Paul will be down there. He will have the latest for you in terms of who returns, who's not out on the ice. Some interesting things that I definitely want to bring up. I was just perusing Twitter here a little bit ago, and a memory came up from 19 years ago that, Joe, I'm definitely going to need you to grab, and we're going to play at some point today because, holy cow, I remember this game, and it was one of the more exciting, fun games, and the outcome of that game was just as great as well. Brayton Wilson here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll step aside and come back with a little bit of a preview of the game against the Panthers tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about the Panthers coming up. Paul Hamilton, again, from KeyBank Center for Sabres practice, and you're listening to WGR.
After review of the call on the ice stands, we have a goal. Oh, sorry.
Oh, hang on.
Excuse me. After review, there is no goal. Florida will be charged a bench minor penalty for delay of game.
Was that from last night's game? Okay, that was from last night's game. Panthers, Devils, Florida, Paul, all of a sudden slumping a bit from their hot start, despite not having Barkov, despite not having Tkachuk available. They got out to a 3-0 start to the season. However, they've lost their last three games, and all of a sudden are sitting at 3-3, and maybe some questions surrounding this Florida Panthers team.
Well, I think it's questions. I think everybody knows what the problem is. You know, their two best players are out for a long period of time. Now, they're still live talent. There's no question about that. But, you know, take those two players out of the line, any lineup, and you're going to have problems. You know, people. I've had some people tweet me, you know, when I do the lines, AHL lineup. It's like, okay. Take six guys out of any lineup in the NHL. They give.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You have 20 guys. Take six guys out. What percentage is that? And tell me that their lineup is going to be not filled with AHL people also.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. So, you know, Florida, they know what problems they have. And, you know, but what are you going to do? I mean, when your two best players by far are not going to be around for a while, it's going to change the complexion of your team.
Now I was kind of half-heartedly joking about the whole problems issue with the Panthers, because you look at their lineup from top to bottom, and they don't have anyone that is AHL level on their roster. All of their players that they have are definitely NHL players. It's just their different style of players, and they just kind of have to find that little gel component to get all of them to play. But I mean, when you have elite level players like Alexander Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk out of the lineup, you're right. It is about trying to find those right combinations, trying to find what works. And, I mean, outside of losing Barkov, you had to shift Sam Bennett to center to play with Marchand and Rodriguez. And then after that, you still have Anton Lundell down the middle, who's playing with Verhaeghe and Reinhardt. I mean, that's a stellar line right there. And then you got your third line, Atu Lotarainen with Maki Samuskevich, who's a really good young forward, a former first-round pick of the Panthers, which they, you know, surprising they have a first-round pick, surprising they kept him. And then they have Jesper Boqvist, who's also been very good for them. So, yeah, it's really I look at their lineup and still think, like, man, this team is still so good, even without having the likes of Barkov and Tkachuk in there. And then when those two guys are available and playing for them, that there's a reason why they're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions right now.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, I think Florida learned something from the Tampa Bay Lightning when they were back-to-back. Teams like Tampa and Florida, they couldn't care less about the President's Trophy.
No.
That's not what they're here for. The 82-game season to those teams is preseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's 82 games of preseason hockey. All you got to do is get in. And it's been proven it doesn't matter if you're home or away. Plenty of away teams win in the playoffs. So that really doesn't matter all that much either. So it's just like, let's get through the regular season as healthy as we can. It's basically a preseason where if we got to try something, we can try some things. But they couldn't care less about where they finish in the regular season. It's just, all right, as long as we have a ticket to be in the playoffs, we'll be fine.
Right. And I also forgot another injury, not a significant injury, but an injury that is notable, no doubt. Dmitry Kulikov, former Sabre Dmitry Kulikov, by the way, he's out multiple months with a hand injury. I think he had surgery on his hand or something like that, but he's out for multiple months. So they have plenty of, you know, high talent or, you know, just veteran players that have been around and know the system well that are not available for them. But again, their lineup is so good. What are you expecting to see in net, Paul? I'm guessing because Tarasov played yesterday, if I'm looking at the box score right, Tarasov played yesterday, that means that Bobrovsky's probably playing Saturday.
Yeah, I would almost say definitely, unless he's hurt.
Hey, the more that I can see the top talent playing against the Sabres and coming to town and whatnot, I think it's more entertaining anyway. I mean, I'd rather see Bobrovsky over Tarasov, but yeah, bring on the challenge, especially with the way the Sabres did play on Wednesday night. Let's see if that could carry over and go up against the top talent that the Panthers have to offer.
And for the Sabres, I mean, they had a day off yesterday, a day of practice, so there's a couple of days in between games. I don't see any reason why Lyon would not be in net. Now, you might see Ellis on Monday against Montreal. You know, that's a possibility that might be the spot where you see him. I don't think I would... The back-to-back to Toronto, he might play in it, but I would not want that to be his first NHL game. You know,
right.
I would like – he already have an NHL game if he has to play that back-to-back. So, in my mind, I think Montreal might be the place for him.
Where do we stand on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, by the way, Paul? I know that he returned to practice last week – or earlier this week, I should say. Again, the days are all kind of molding together. I've said today is Monday. I've said today is Wednesday, and I can't get my days straight. But where do we stand with Luukkonen in terms of his health, and has Lindy Ruff given an estimated timetable in terms of when he could possibly be back in the net? Like, we might not even get the chance to see Colton Ellis at this point.
Oh, you'll get the chance. He has to play in Rochester. Mm-hmm. He has to get a couple of games in. There's no way you can throw him in after he's played one period since April.
That makes sense.
So I think he's got to have a rehab assignment in Rochester when he's ready. Actually, I'm looking at him right now. Goalie practice usually goes on right now before regular practice. So Luukkonen is the first goaltender on the ice. So obviously his practice the other day went well enough that he's back on the ice today. And we'll be joining the team for practice. So that's good news that he felt good and is doing well. But, you know, I can't say definitely he's going to get a rehab assignment, but I would be very surprised if all of a sudden they just throw him in and say, well, here you go. You've played one period since April. Enjoy. You know.
The reason I didn't bring it up in the first place, Paul, is because I can't remember the last time that the Sabres actually had a situation like that where they needed to send a goaltender to Rochester for a rehab assignment, or really anybody for that matter. It's always just been, oh, hey, he's healthy enough to play. Get him back in the net. Or get him back on the ice.
They've never had the situation where the goaltender's only played one period since April.
Yeah, that too.
You know, it's that like, too. Well, he played and got hurt. You know, he played 20 games, got hurt. You know, it's not like his first action. I mean, he had a training camp. Mm-hmm. You know, this is his training camp, you know, for basically since he got hurt. You know, he got hurt in the first preseason game that he played in. You know, he wasn't ready to go, and then he did get ready to go and had some practices, and the other goaltenders had already played. It's like, okay, well, we got to get him into some games, and they did get him into some games, and then it was one period of a game, which, he played pretty well in. It was double-figure shots. I want to say maybe he stopped 11 of 12 or 12 of 13, something like that. So even though he had a problem and it wasn't great, he seemed to be okay, you know, that as far as stopping pucks. But I just don't think one period's enough. I would think it wouldn't even be just one. I mean, it would be a couple of games at least where you could get him down. You would hope maybe you get in a situation in Rochester where they have three games in 3 days and he could play Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, type of a situation.
Yep.
Even if you want to put him in back-to-back, I suppose you could do that too. But play a game, then rest, and then play the next game, and you know, get him two games like that.
Paul Hamilton at Sabres practice this morning. He joins us on the Western Hotline. He'll be with us for another 20 minutes before the Sabres really get going for practice. Paul, looking at the NHL standings here in the Atlantic, you know, the optimist in me looks at, you know, the game tomorrow and you say, hey, the Sabres managed to find a way to win in regulation to Florida, or even in overtime, you get two more points, and all of a sudden you're having the discussions of, okay, they're only you know, two, maybe 3 points out of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, or even just a top spot in the Atlantic Division. Other than that, you know, Montreal has won 4 games in a row since losing the first game of the year, so they are atop the division. Detroit's playing well, 3 games in a row they've won. Toronto is right up there as well, and then you got Boston, and then Florida, and then Ottawa too. But I know right now the Sabres are at the bottom of the Atlantic, but thankfully they got that win on Wednesday, where we're not, you know, almost at a point where we're pressing the complete panic button and trying to detonate the nuclear bomb. But, you know, if they get the win and if they come away with a victory on Saturday, things start looking really interesting in that in the division.
I have to be honest with you. I almost never look at the division standings.
It's always conference standings?
It's always conference. Like, every time I pull them up, even the other day on from the NHL.com, I always pull up conference to see where it is, because it'll tell you where you are as far as the division goes, because they do it with the top three, and then the conference is listed. So, yeah, I pretty much never know where they are in the division, because it really doesn't matter. It matters where they are in the conference and are they in a playoff spot.
Well, Paul, you're better off than I am, because my usual for looking at the standings is clicking the league tab and then scrolling all the way down at the bottom. I'm bad. It's been that way for years, and I like many people, I'm just so ready to be done doing that, and hopefully just looking at it from, oh, hey, you know, you click the conference or you click the division, and, oh, look, there's Buffalo, you know, in the top three or top four. That'd be really nice. Real quick, Paul, before we hit the break, I know usually when you preview games over at WGR550.com, you always like to include some of the players from the other teams that are playing well or that you're kind of focused on for this game. Who from Florida, you know, are you keying in on that, whether it's been, you know, a string of success against Buffalo or just someone to potentially be someone to watch for against the Sabres?
Well, of course, it's Sam Reinhart. I mean, even without those guys, Sam Reinhart is a 35 to 50 goal scorer, depending on the season. And if there's not too many players that have been better that I've seen in front of the net than he. I mean, he was always, it's something that Sabres have really missed, because he just knows how to tip pucks where they're going to wind up in the net. They're under, tips it under the crossbar, you know, tips it here, and that type of a situation. He and Zucker are extremely good, but he's probably better than Zucker at it. But Zucker is who they have now, who's pretty good at it too. So, you know, he of course is a guy that I haven't had actually. I just had started writing my article for today and tomorrow, because tomorrow's a 1 o'clock game, so It'll include kind of a preview. And I was actually writing about Greenway, so I hadn't quite gotten to the Panthers yet. So you beat me by about an hour and a half. So I can't tell you who their leading scorers are right now or anything like that, because that is what I'm going to be doing probably 30 minutes after practice.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, I was...
Stay tuned. It will be in my article later this afternoon.
In a way, I was happy I beat you to the punch with your article, and then in another way, it's like, oh, I'm sorry I caught you off guard.
No, actually, we can now preview. You know, stay tuned. It'll be in the article later.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Talking plenty of Sabres hockey with Paul Hamilton, who's down at Sabres practice this morning, and we'll have plenty more hockey talk for you after Paul departs us to be able to cover practice. And then at 11 o'clock, it'll be myself, Joe Cali, who's running the board anyway, and then also Owen Parker is going to be joining us here for the final hour of the show. But when we come back, going to take a little trip down memory lane to an event that happened 19 years ago, and we'll get Paul's thoughts on that as well. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which, by the way, is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Back with more on the Extra Point Show next on WGR.
But he said, when you see these fans rally like this, it makes you, as a player, and he recalled his days as a player, it makes you want to play even harder for them that they have come out like this. Up in again, on score! With just too much speed to the outside. Finneganov's going to take this puck deep in his own zone. He goes unchallenged from about the middle of the circle in his own end through the neutral zone. Creates the one-on-one chance against Darren Hatcher. A little inside-outside move. Hatcher, no match for the speedy of Finneganov.
Oh, Paul, that game happened 19 years ago. The Sabres earning a 9-1 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. And I think in Philadelphia lore, it's the night the Flyers died. I think that's what they call that. 6 second period goals by the Sabres on track to a 9-1 win.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And oh man, what do you remember from that game, Paul?
Basically, what you just played. When was the day the Buffalo Sabres died?
Oh man, you throw that back at me. Mm-hmm. Suffering. The day that Darcy said this will require some suffering. I think that's when it happened. You're probably gonna even say a little further back. Let me guess. The Lucic Miller incident. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
No.
Further back.
The Drury Brière mm-hmm. free agency debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cool.
The day that happened was the day the Buffalo Sabres died. They have, in my estimation, have never recovered from July 1st of that day when Brière and Drury left together.
Fair. To be fair, though, everything that I did mention could obviously have its own argument to be like, well, mm-hmm. a part of the Sabres died this day. Or, you know, some people would say, no, that was when the Sabres died, yada, yada, so on and so forth. I don't know. For me, the complete downfall was when, you know, that press conference, which, by the way, Paul, I listened back to that and I found that entire audio of that press conference and I listened to the entire thing. This was probably a couple months back during the offseason when I was just bored and had nothing really else to do. I decided to listen to that press conference with the suffering. Holy cow. I don't know what you remember from that press conference, but there was a lot that happened there that was just kind of mind-boggling to me.
But the downfall had already happened. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so they figured, well, to get back, we have to do this.
Yep.
The damage. I mean, and the thing about Brière and Drury is they easily could have kept both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it would have cost 12.5 for the players if you would have given the players what they wanted with no negotiation, and you could have kept those two. And then if the Oilers would have made their offer to Thomas Vanek, then you could have let Thomas Vanek go, and you would have had, what, 4 or 5 first-round picks from a team that's, you know, picking pretty high up in the draft after that. So you could have had, basically, if you look at the trade, you could have had Breer, Drury, and what was it, four or five first-round picks for Thomas Vanek. Yeah. It's basically what you could have wound up with. But the Sabres got to a point where they were forced to accept the offer that the Oilers made to Thomas Vanek, because they couldn't afford to lose Thomas Vanek when they already had lost Drury and Breer.
Man, if they had lost all three of them, I mean that's revisionist history that we could discuss another day. But holy cow, what that could have been? What could that could have turned out to be? Could that have been a situation where they had, you know, been immediately bad, and they end up with, you know, a guy like Steven Stamkos or a Drew Doughty or something like that? Like, that, to me, that's sort of the thought that I have, is just, I think they would have been very bad right after that, where they would be falling near the basement, and they would have ended up with some really good talent in the late 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah, but would have anybody known what to do with the talent?
Yeah, that's true.
They had some really good talent. They had a team on it with Eichel, Reinhardt, O'Reilly, and Evander Kane.
Yes.
Who, Evander Kane, when he's healthy, is a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah.
And how in the world are you one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League when you have that on your team? But the Sabres pulled it off.
Well, Paul, I'll leave you with this. I'm looking at the box score right now from that Sabres-Flyers game. Max Afinigenov had 5 points in that game.
It's only one more point than Zach Benson had the other night.
Yeah, yeah. A goal and four assists. So Benson had four assists. So Max Afinigenov, who was one of my favorite player back in that day, 5 points. Thomas Vanek had 4 points. And then they only had 5 players on that roster that did not register a point.
Yeah, it was a fun night for the fans of Buffalo.
Of all players, Yuri Novotny registered a point in that game. He scored a goal. The players that didn't score, Jochen Hesch, Dmitry Kalinin, Adam Mayer, Andrew Peters, and Jason Pominville. And if you want to count Ryan Miller,
too. Andrew Peters about not getting a point in that game.
Yeah, you should.
Come on, Andrew. That's 9 goals. You can't get in on that.
By the way, he had 10:41 of ice time and 4 penalty minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. You should have had a point. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. Well, Paul, we'll let you get going so you can cover practice. We'll be sure to follow along on X and get all the updates from you. And enjoy tomorrow's game as well.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks, Paul. Paul Hamilton from Sabres Practice joining us on the Western Hotline. Coming up next after the break, Owen Parker, who's been very busy over the last 24 to 48 hours. He's going to jump on with me for the final hour. Joe Calley's also here on the board. I got a little fun activity that I saw somebody else take part in, and I want to test Owen's knowledge here with this activity. We'll get to that at some point in the next hour, and we'll also talk plenty of hockey. If you got some football thoughts on the top of your mind, feel free to join us. 803-0550 is the number to join us here, as we're taking you through the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Hour two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming your way next on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.